one of the best risk-adjusted return investments that you could make and how you could save your money.
Yeah, Bitcoin is like a superpower for people who understand it. It can accelerate other goals you may have in your life or financially. And it's equally true for business owners.
How do we secure this Bitcoin? How do we hold it in custody? How do we make it so that, you know, someone comes in and, you know, they try to rob us or something like that, that they just can't take all the Bitcoin off the iPad that's sitting at the front? So
this week, we are doing something a little bit different with the show, and it is our first in a series of Bitcoin entrepreneurs and executives joining the show to tell us about their ideas and experiences integrating Bitcoin into their business. Curtis Warren is the owner of the Funk Coffee Bar in downtown Vancouver, recent host of the UnConference in August of 2025. Curtis is a longtime Bitcoiner and a customer of Block Rewards, and here today to share some of his learnings, his journey as a Bitcoin business owner. Hope you enjoy. All right, welcome to another episode of the Block Reward Podcast. This week we are doing something a little bit different and joined by a Bitcoin entrepreneur, customer of Block Rewards, owner of Funk Coffee in Vancouver, Curtis Warren. Curtis, welcome to the show, man.
Thanks so much, Scott, for having me on. I feel so honored to come on a show like this with you because, you know, I was listening to, I listened to episodes here and there, and it feels like I'm just such a pleb in comparison to some of the guests that you have on. So I'm just honored to be, speaking alongside some of those people.
That's very kind of you, man. And thank you. I've been looking forward to this one as well. We've been getting to know each other, I guess, over the last months, and admire a lot of the different things you're doing with your business. And I think you have a really great story to tell. I'm looking forward to sharing some of what you're up to. Yeah, maybe if you could just start the episode by sharing a little bit about yourself and your Bitcoin journey.
Yeah, absolutely. So I run a coffee shop called Funk Coffee Bar in Vancouver, BC. We roast and serve low time preference coffee. We try to be a Bitcoin community hub as much as possible. It's been quite a journey to actually get here in the first place. I think I got into Bitcoin probably around 10 years ago, but I never really understood exactly what I was in possession of. It took me a long time and a long journey to get there. You know, I think some of my friends were mining Ethereum in our office and when I was working in software. And you know, I went down, the rabbit hole on all these different coins and tokens, and through pieces of content like this, actually, and whether it was podcasts, I found this group of people on the internet that were kind of saying that, hey, all of this is, you know, all of this speculation, this is like 2017, so complete mania as far as shit coins and things like that. And there was just this group of people on the internet that was like, all of this is noise. The only thing that matters here is Bitcoin. And my thought to that was like, how could you be so close-minded? Like, how could you not think that this new technology in this nascent space isn't going to touch so many different levels of the economy, whether that's like decentralizing Uber or decentralizing governance models or all of these different, you know, propositions that they had. So I had to try to keep an open mind myself and continue to kind of hear them out and try to see exactly, maybe they have a point, right? Like, I think this is one of the mindsets of a Bitcoiner is always trying to question whether or not we are wrong. Like, where are our blind spots, right? And this is why a lot of people go through the journey of when they discover Bitcoin of trying to think like, okay, like what are all the different ways that it could fail? Like, could it fail from a technology aspect? Is the government's going to ban it? Is there going to be an next Bitcoin? And that's kind of one of the questions that takes people in the direction of tokens and whatnot. So, you know, finally after, a couple of years and seeing COVID hit, and I was reading a bunch of books about, what inflation is and government spending, and you know, some of the authors that speak about these types of things, and a lot of the things that they were talking about started coming true. So that kind of really galvanized me in my understanding of like, oh crap, these guys that were talking about, Bitcoin being the only thing that matters, like, they were right. Like, what else were they right about? So in the meantime, you know, I was moving from the software world, and I took a little bit of a hiatus where I had a friend who was starting a brewery and a coffee roastery. And I was originally going to be a silent partner all in this. Like, my passion was software. My passion was technology. It always has been. Maybe I was primed for Bitcoin, actually, because if there's like two traits that I've had since childhood, is like a love and curiosity of technology and a problem with authority. And I feel like those, like, I was very primed in the sense for Bitcoin in particular, because it really is exemplary of those two things, right? It is technology, and it is a challenge to the way that things work, and it is really in the interest of change. And so I had a friend that started this a brewery and coffee roastery, and I was going to be a total silent partner. And as I took a hiatus from technology, I was just kind of burnt out and things like that. I started looking at this coffee that we were roasting, and it was so good, but nobody knew that we did it. Like, we were primarily known as a brewery. It was called House of Funk Brewing Coffee at that point. And so coming from software, being in sales, marketing, product management, I was like, oh, this is something that I can sink my teeth into. Like, maybe I can, help us launch our brand and figure out exactly, you know, who we're selling to and get some traction behind this awesome coffee that we were roasting. So I really kind of fell into it, right? It's funny because a lot of times people ask me about, my story as an entrepreneur, and they're like, oh, like, you know, did you have like a vision one day? Like, did you like, you know, go into the forest and like discover like what you wanted to do in life? And that wasn't necessarily true for this. I kind of fell in love with it over time, rather than it being something that I really tried to manifest from nothing into the world. But I really fell in love with it. And particularly over the last few years after, building a cafe. You know, Bitcoiners talk about all of the things, like Austrian economics. They talk about, and for me personally, I'm really into things like Austrian psychology. And I've always wondered why, I actually visited Austria around 2.5 years ago. And they had these coffee shops there, which are really less like coffee shops and more like institutions. Like, they've been there for 150 years. And these places, they were one of the few places in the world in Vienna, which was formerly known as the brain of Europe, where you could get magazines and newspapers from all over the world in the same week that they were released. And you have to remember, this is like the late 1800s. Like, we didn't have airplanes. Like, stuff took a while to be able to, you know, get from New York to London. And somehow they managed to curate this. And so we had all of these people coming together in these large cafes with all of this information. They had this place called the newspaper room, where people had access to all of the information from around the world. It was almost like the internet before the internet existed, right? And they really provided a space for people to be able to either just come and have a coffee, or to meet a friend, or to meet a newspaper, or to carry out the discourse of society, where, you know, they could talk about the biggest ideas that they saw in other places, and you know, what are good ideas, what are bad ideas, what are things that we can implement as a society. And so it's no wonder that so many of the greats that we talk about in Bitcoin, like, whether it's, you know, Carl Menger, who was, you know, visited Cafe Central on a regular basis, Sigmund Freud, Ludwig von Mises, like, it was, you go down the list of the people who went to these cafes and came up with these ideas. It's really timeless to this day. Like, these are names that resonate so much into today's world and into the Bitcoin world, of course. So, kind of having that experience of seeing what these coffee shops were like and seeing what we were building here in Vancouver, I started seeing that it was possible for us to become the modern version of the Austrian coffee house. And I saw people coming together, working on projects. I saw communities starting. And that's when, I realized that, you know, from my love of Bitcoin and my newfound love of coffee, like I could really combine these two things together. So we started hosting meetups at the cafe, and it's, you know, this is also, you know, it's through this community. It's how I met you. It's interesting with communities, like a lot of these meetups is, you know, when I go there, like, of course I'm going there because we're talking about Bitcoin, but I'm also going there because I'm getting to see my friends. And I see my friends, like, you know, maybe we meet up like once a month or something like that. And, you know, I'm sure, you know, like you, you know, I'm so busy, I'm running around, like I'm from the city, I have friends and family here. There's only so much time in a day to like really make plans with people. But when you go to a community and you know a lot of the people there, then it's just like a nice little reunion between all of the people that you've really learned to love and care about. So I saw that building at the cafe, and that's when I really fell in love with what we're doing. And I saw the impact that we could make, you know, in a little city like Vancouver, of bringing people together and bringing ideas together and building towards the future.
Yeah, the community aspect, you know, obviously there's many very cool things about Bitcoin, and this story makes me, you know, filled with optimism. It's the human connection was such a critical part of why this thing is a positive feedback loop to infinity. So you took it a step further in August. You hosted the Unconference, a full-day event. And that must have been pretty cool forward moment for you in terms of the evolution of from where you started.
For sure. I mean, I've been following Meet Premier Bitcoin, or my first Bitcoin, for a long time. And, you know, we had Learning Bitcoin in Victoria last year, and they were hosting in Vancouver this year. And that's a really big deal for the city, actually hosting a Bitcoin conference, especially given the state of things with, you know, Mayor Sim here wanting to make things a Bitcoin city. And at the same time, you know, my first Bitcoin, they wanted to come to Vancouver and host an Unconference. You know, might as well, like, there's going to be a whole bunch of people in town, might as well kill a bunch of birds with one stone, right? And so they approached us, and it's just such an honor. It's going from having this love of Bitcoin, and all of a sudden, you know, these events that I've been following, and these people that, you know, I've admired just digitally online throughout the years are coming to our cafe to, you know, talk about how do we educate people in Bitcoin? How do we make Bitcoin more accessible when we're talking about it to other folks? And so that was such an exciting moment for me. And it was great. Like, it was the quality of content and the quality of attendees at this, you know, people were coming from all over the world to check out Funk Coffee and to check out this Unconference that was happening here. And it was particularly great because for a couple of reasons. We have our team of, you know, we have our managers, we have our baristas that get to be around all of these Bitcoiners talking about, you know, the future of money and them kind of getting to learn and absorb by osmosis. And the other great thing about it is that, you know, my first Bitcoin, they want to pay in Bitcoin. And that's huge for us because, you know, we get to not only offer up our space, but the exchange for us is also in Bitcoin. And we get to add all of that to our balance sheet, which we've been doing with the meetups over time. And that's been a really boon for a really big boon for us as a small coffee shop. We're not a tech company. We're not like, you know, a Walmart. We are quite small at this point. And but having the opportunity to be able to hold Bitcoin on our balance sheet and gives us a competitive edge against other cafes that are not thinking about it in the same way.
This is actually a point that I would love to just spend a second on as somebody who's actually doing this, because we've done a couple episodes now over the last couple months talking about the bigger publicly traded Bitcoin treasury companies and trying to give some awareness and understanding around what the theory is and why companies would want to do this. What you're doing is very different. You're a real small business, and you're employing a very, what I say is a very clever strategy. And so you guys accept Bitcoin where it's possible, you hold it. Can you just talk a little bit about, you know, why you do it, how you do it, And, you know, what are the sort of considerations that you've had to really learn about and think through as a business owner?
Yeah, so I think the biggest consideration that we've had to think through when we first decided that we wanted to hold Bitcoin on our balance sheet was the user experience for the staff. We have to, not just staff, but also for customers. We had to think about, you know, when people are just coming to grab a coffee, sometimes they come down and they, you know, sit there for a few hours, but oftentimes they're kind of just like in and out, right? And if this became a point of friction that is going to choke up the line, or the staff is going to have to call the manager over to help them do this, it was just not going to work. Like, it has to, the coffee is a very transactional purchase. Like, you're not sitting there and, you know, just looking at an invoice and, you know, figuring out how to pay it. This is just, it's a $7 latte, guys. Like, what are we talking about here? So to be able to accept Bitcoin, it was so important for me that it was going to be a really good experience for customers, but also a really good experience for our team. So we, you know, we looked at all of the options available on the market and picked the one, which happened to be a company here locally, Coinos, which just had an incredible experience for our customers, a really easy experience for our team, and even thought about things like, you know, tipping, which is like a big thing in the service industry in Canada, that it would, you know, prompt them for a tip. And so that was kind of the first consideration. And once we selected them as a vendor to be able to help us out with it, then we started thinking about like, okay, like, I mean, I'm a Bitcoiner. Like, I believe that the Bitcoin is going to be, you know, worth more in the future. So what do we do with that Bitcoin? Well, we hold it. So there is an aspect of securing it as well as a business. You know, we did have to think about how do we secure this Bitcoin? How do we hold it in custody? How do we make it so that, you know, someone comes in and, you know, they try to rob us or something like that, that they just can't take all the Bitcoin off the iPad that's sitting at the front. So that was a big consideration as to how do we take that off? A lot of people talk about tax implications and whatnot, and they ask about it as a, you know, other small businesses, like, hey, I want to accept Bitcoin. What do I have to worry about as far as taxes go? And of course, there's going to be corporate tax that you're going to have to pay on any type of profit. So everything does has to be accounted for. We turn around and we can account for all the Bitcoin that we're receiving in Square, which we use for our point of sale. But as far as the tax implications of capital gains, that hasn't been an issue for us yet because we're typically holding the Bitcoin as opposed to selling it. There have been small instances, like we also try to spend Bitcoin with other vendors to be able to create more circular economy effects. For example, you know, one of the people that has been working and helping Block Rewards is Roger, and he always comes in with a whole bunch of books and he's like, hey, like, which one of these books do you want to buy off me for your shelf? And, you know, we try to support everyone else in the Bitcoin community that's selling things in Bitcoin. So we do purchase, you know, some of the things for our retail shelves in Bitcoin as well. But typically we're just holding it. And for that reason, there hasn't been much capital gains implications for us. I do expect at some point, you know, the point of this Bitcoin on our balance sheet, the reason we want to hold this is that this here is like at the end of the day, a nest egg for the organization. Just like you have savings as an individual, you have savings as a business. We have big plans. Like, we want to expand to more cafes and more spaces like this in the future. And at some point we might have to tap our Bitcoin to be able to do that. And, you know, if there's cap gain taxes to pay on it, then, well, I mean, that's something that we would be happy to do because ultimately we're just paying taxes on any type of gains that we received from it. And if we see an opportunity that, you know, we think that is going to be maybe even beat the price appreciation of Bitcoin because we want to open up another cafe and, you know, broaden our business, you know, create more cash flows, then at that time we'll cross that bridge and figure out, you know, what the tax implications of selling Bitcoin as a small business is. But I don't anticipate that we're going to be doing that anytime soon, right? one of the things that I have to think about as a business is if we're spending Bitcoin to open up more locations or for whatever reason, is whenever we're doing that, like if we're opening up a new cafe, we do have to look at it in terms of an investment. And we have to think about what's the rate of return on that, right? And Bitcoin does create this dynamic around savings where your hurdle rate of what your expected rate of return on just holding the Bitcoin versus investing to open up a new location is certainly a part of the calculation, right? Like if Bitcoin is appreciating, you know, historically at like 60% or whatever it is year over year, and we're looking at opening new locations, like, are we going to get the return on capital that we're actually, for all the outlays that we're making to make, you know, new locations a reality? So, you know, likely, you know, when we're opening up new locations, we'll probably look towards bringing on more equity or, you know, tapping debt facilities that so that we don't need to sell that Bitcoin. But ultimately, if we have to, we will. Part of that calculation that we're making is that we think that the opportunity that we're investing in is going to have a greater rate of return than just purely holding it. So lots of considerations when it comes to thinking about holding this nascent asset on your balance sheet. And it's very different as a small business than, you know, when we talk about treasury companies. Like they're effectively taking on debt in order to be able to purchase more Bitcoin. Like we're purchasing Bitcoin by selling our services, right? We're trading coffee for Bitcoin. It's a very different model, but it does, thinking progressively about this as a coffee shop does give us that competitive edge, because I imagine the majority of coffee shops in Vancouver are probably saving their money in fiat when they have any type of profits or, you know, paying those out as dividends to their shareholders. By us having Bitcoin as an asset on our balance sheet versus someone else having fiat on their balance sheet, we like to believe that that's giving us a competitive edge because our savings are appreciating, whereas their purchasing power is depreciating. So, yeah.
Yeah, you've effectively turned a coffee shop into a Bitcoin miner. I love it. It's So you're not just limited to accepting Bitcoin, which is very cool. You've started to sort of think about braiding Bitcoin into other facets of your business. And yeah, would love to just, you know, keep this going. Like, you know, what are the different things you're thinking about doing? Where does this go? What's on your mind?
Yeah, absolutely. So I would say it's four main things that how we've integrated Bitcoin into our business. So kind of spoken about a few of them already. So we've made ourselves a community hub for Bitcoiners, right? And we host meetups there. We hosted the Unconference there. Anytime you come into the coffee shop on any random given day, you might see Bitcoiners hanging out at the coffee shop. And, you know, it's always a good opportunity to kind of sit down and chat and grab a coffee with random folks. We hold it on our balance sheet. We've talked about that. We have an ATM in the back where people can purchase Bitcoin, and we've sprinkled Bitcoin paraphernalia throughout the coffee shop so that it just kind of sparks curiosity from people who aren't as into Bitcoin when, you know, they come in and they see a Bitcoin ATM and they see Bitcoin books on the shelf. The amount of times that I see people hanging out by our sugar and cream station, and just underneath that, there's a couple of Bitcoin books. It's kind of like our cafe bookshelf. And it's funny, like I see just random folks and they're holding, Jimmy Song's book, Fiat Ruins Everything. And they're just like reading a few passages from that. And that's just great for me because, I mean, first of all, it's like a very compelling book title. It's like very clickbaity of like, you know, I'm saying Fiat Ruins Everything. And yeah, folks just, you see a lot of people who aren't into Bitcoin and they kind of have curiosity about it as a result. Finally, the thing that is one of the most important things for me is that anytime people come into our coffee shop and they tip in Bitcoin, that we turn around and we give our team of baristas, our kitchen staff, our managers to take their tips in Bitcoin. And that's been a really cool experience for me because, I mean, let's be real, like us as, you know, Bitcoiners, like we are less than 1 or 2% of the population, probably even smaller. So no one on our team was super into Bitcoin prior. And, you know, when I announced to the team that they were able to get their tips in Bitcoin, pretty much all of them said yes. I think the only ones that said no was just, it was just such a small amount that they were like, just like whatever, like I don't want to set up a wallet, just like give me the cash. And it's been a really cool experience because some of our team members, especially the ones that work a lot of the meetups, they have their savings in Bitcoin. And like let's be real here, like this is, you know, our baristas, we're paying them, you know, $20 an hour. And we like to think that we have the highest paid baristas in the city, but we live in a city like Vancouver where the cheapest real estate that you can get here is going to be $400,000, $500,000, $600,000. Like, and they have their dreams too. Like a lot of them, you know, they want to be able to afford a house one day. They want to be able to maybe start their own business one day. And in a city that has experienced such high inflation, not just since COVID, but for the last 2 decades, when it comes to the housing market, they're seeing these, you know, the lives that they were able to grow up being born and raised in a city where their parents were able to kind of afford a certain quality of life. And it feels like for a lot of people, especially if you're, you know, you're not in software or something like that, you know, taking home hundreds of thousands of dollars a year, that these things are getting further and further out of reach for people. One of the reasons why I wanted the team to have the opportunity to accept their tips in Bitcoin was to kind of show them that their own goals, if they do save in Bitcoin, it could be possible. One of our team members, she's accepted, I don't know, $400 or $500 in tips over the last couple of years. And she's seen that grow at times to like over $1,000. And it's to the point where we've been like sitting down together and being like, okay, like this is, you know, probably getting to an amount that you just don't want to, you know, hold this on your phone. And if you just like lose your phone, you've lost your Bitcoin. And so we've been setting the team up with wallets and it's been exciting for them. It's made them very curious about Bitcoin. Some of them have been like, hey, you know, Curtis, like, please, like, let's go for a coffee or something. Like, I want to learn more about this. Like, it seems like it's a thing. I've been going, I've been working during the meetups, but I have some questions, right? Like help me understand why I want to make this a bigger part of my own savings. So that kind of brings us to, you know, the product that Scott, you've been building, Block Rewards, and it's allowed us to do is offer another type of benefits plan. It's like when I worked in software, like we had these, you know, financial advisors come by once in a while and they would, you know, sell us these RRSPs and they would kind of be your advisors. And my belief and a lot of other Bitcoiners is that Bitcoin is one of the best risk adjusted return investments that you could make and how you could save your money. And so when thinking about, okay, if I want to empower the team to be able to achieve their dreams, much like I have been able to achieve mine through saving through Bitcoin, let's offer them an employee benefit that we think is aligned with what our values are and is going to give them the best shot. So Block Rewards, you know, allows them to be able to convert a part of their paycheck every month into Bitcoin. And the cafe incentivizes this by matching, you know, some of what they're actually able to, what they're saving themselves. So, you know, it's, you know, every month it's kind of like them, their dollar cost averaging. They're every month goes by, they're buying, you know, 30, 50, 100, $200 worth of Bitcoin and continuing to build their own savings so that they can do what they want to do in the future. And that's been really important to me. Like, I don't know, like maybe the software world is like more hippy dippy and I've just been kind of like, you know, galvanized by the values there where, you know, like you think about a tech company and you think like ping pong tables and like, you know, rah, rah team, like it's all about the people. And like the food and beverage industry is not like that, right? Like it is a very tight industry as far as profit margins go. And that results in usually the incentive there is to just maximize your profitability. Because if you don't, there's going to be no business. There's going to be no jobs for people. And, you know, coming from the hippy dippy software world, like I'm being like, oh, like how can we empower our team and all of these, you know, values that come from there. And, you know, we try to embody that in many ways as well, that like, I don't just want to maximize the amount of profit that we're getting on every single cup of coffee that we're selling. Like I want to build up our team, whether that's like through growth in their roles or through providing them savings plans where we're matching them and we're kind of, you know, guiding them towards like what we think is, you know, the hardest money ever invented. And so that they can build their savings and they can buy their house and they can start their business like, you know, like I have one day. So that's been a very important thing for me to be able to give to the team.
Yeah, thanks for sharing your side of that story, Curtis. I was that person. I was the advisor that would go in and sell the group RSP to the software company. And, you know, Block Rewards came out of that. I think that, you know, for a lot of the reasons you just articulated, it's beautiful to see. And to, you know, to take a step back to everything you've been talking about over the course of the conversation, like I think that, you know, Bitcoin is like a superpower for people who understand it. It can accelerate other goals you may have in your life or financially. And it's equally true for business owners. So business owners today who understand Bitcoin have, I believe, a massive head start on everyone else who doesn't so far. And accumulating your treasury is one example. But yeah, using that knowledge to change the way your staff think about their planning for their own futures, I think ultimately is something that will, you know, really pay massive dividends for business owners that are able to share this. And, you know, I think like going back to the very start of the conversation, talking about the community and this really incredible thing about Bitcoin is that inside, you know, the understanding of it often for most people comes to this a desire to help other people understand it. And when you've done that, and especially as an employer, I think you've created a great opportunity to really change people's lives, which, you know, I think is another really cool thing about starting a business is that you have relationships and you care about the people who work for you and with you. And Bitcoin really is this incredible gift. So, yeah, I appreciate that testimonial. And it's really neat to hear how you're thinking about it.
Yeah, it's, you know, one thing I've been thinking about just on this point around kind of building the community and, you know, people getting into Bitcoin and just kind of sharing the knowledge that we've been trying to accumulate around understanding, you know, what is money and how the financial system works and how to position yourselves and your savings around that. I keep seeing lots of people, they come to me, you know, I'm sure you and I, we've both been like talking about this Bitcoin thing for years and years and years. And, you know, at some point, you know, your friends or your family, they come to you and they're like, okay, or your team, like your Bruce's are like, okay, like I've heard enough about it. Like, let me actually dive into this. Let me apply, you know, some of my attention towards this because, you know, you've been talking about it and like, I want to understand more. And I see a lot of people getting into Bitcoin for the first time. What I haven't seen much of over the years is, someone who used to be into Bitcoin and now they are no longer. Like it feels like, you know, we talk about Bitcoin of being like, once you see it, it's something that you can't really unsee. And it's funny, like even, you know, friends and family, like I have this one friend who's, he's kind of in the therapeutic plant medicine world. And, you know, I've been talking to him about Bitcoin for years and, you know, all of a sudden one day, you know, he shows up and he's like, Curtis, like I've been really getting into it. I've been learning a lot. I've been reading the books that you've been talking about. It was, and for him, it was, you know, Dr. Jack Cruz, who's like a Bitcoiner who is specifically into, you know, health and naturopathic therapies around, you know, red light therapy and whatnot. And he's also talks a lot about Bitcoin. And that was kind of his way to be able to get in. And he comes to me and he's like, hey, like I want to start buying, like, can you help me set up my wallet? Can you help me, you know, figure out how to be able to hold this asset? And I have all these other questions that it would just be helpful if you could answer. And I keep seeing those types of interactions the more that we talk about it. And but I'm not seeing people that have been into Bitcoin and kind of gone down the rabbit hole and fully understood it, you know, are like, no, like I got into it and I was, you know, into it for a couple of years and now I don't really think about it too much anymore. It feels like there is a continual groundswell. It's like a virus. So it's like, it's kind of just spreading. And in the best sense of the word, it's an idea that catches the attention of people. And, you know, once they understand it, I know for me myself that it has really changed the way that I've looked at the world. And it's really changed how I think about money and my own savings. Like, full transparency, like I used to be terrible with my money. I used to be terrible with savings because I think that I didn't really see a point. I think that I thought that if I saved a little bit of my paycheck and I put that in my bank account, that it wasn't actually going to help me achieve my dreams. Finding Bitcoin and understanding what it is and, you know, why it, you know, keeps going up in price has really given me hope. Like, Bitcoin is hope at the end of the day, that if I do just put away my savings and I do kind of, you know, stack sats and continue to increase the amount of Bitcoin that I'm holding, that I can have the opportunity to be able to start my own business and to be able to self-actualize in many ways. And once I realized that, like, that's, and you find hope in this crazy world where, you know, the price of everything and the price of the lifestyle that you want to be able to create for yourself and the people that you care about and your family, that is a much more optimistic and hopeful version of the future than the dreaded one of constant inflation and never being able to afford and to achieve your dreams that I feel like, you know, so many people have these days. And so, you know, helping myself, helping my friends and family, helping our team see that possibility really makes me hopeful and optimistic about the future.
Yeah. And honestly, man, like listening to you talk, it's entrepreneurs like you that give me hope for the future too. Like I think everybody who's aligned themselves with Bitcoin and making these different decisions in their own lives, we really are building the world tomorrow that we want to see today. Yeah. So maybe that's a good break point. And we mentioned Funk. Maybe if you want to just take a moment to share for listeners, if they can find you, you know, if they're visiting Vancouver, how do they find Funk? Anywhere else you want to point people?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm not too much on social media these days, but you can follow our business at Funk Coffee. So we're primarily on Instagram. And if you go to funk.coffee online, you can, we ship our coffee around the world. You know, we ship to Europe and we ship to Asia and we'll ship down to the States. And so if you want to purchase some coffee for Bitcoin, you can also do that online. In Vancouver, we have one coffee shop right now called Funk Coffee Bar right downtown, but we're looking to open a couple more within the next year. So yeah, come to a meetup, come say hi. Always happy to chat with people, which I feel like sometimes at the coffee shop is half my job, is just sitting down and having a coffee with folks.
I think it's so cool, you know, your story about visiting Austria and the, you know, this relationship between, you know, the economics of Bitcoin and Austrian economic theory and the great coffee shops of times gone by. That was, you know, I'm a traveler and I've been to Austria. I've been to those coffee shops. So that all was very cool to hear. Thanks again for coming on and sharing your story.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
If you're listening and you made it all the way to the end of the episode, I want to thank you as well for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed this episode and hope to see you next week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of The Block Reward. We're trying to do something different here, creating accessible conversations meant for people who aren't obsessed with Bitcoin. If you found this episode informative and engaging, hit that subscribe button to make sure you stay updated with future episodes. Your feedback matters. We'd greatly appreciate it if you could take a moment to share your reviews and help us with our goal of creating Bitcoin content that is simple and easy to understand. Bitcoin has an important role to play in the future of finance. It will change the way we save, spend, and invest. Discover why Bitcoin offers a game-changing opportunity for forward-thinking employers by visiting blockrewards.ca. Block Rewards' mission is helping Canadian employers implement strategies for integrating Bitcoin into compensation and benefits. Supercharge your recruitment and retention strategies and help your team members plan for the rising cost of living by rewarding their work with the hardest money ever invented. Big shout out to Podigy, our production team that makes all this possible, and BMX Escape for producing our music. Bitcoin is an expansive and dense topic many people walk away from early. To Bitcoin enthusiasts looking for that podcast they can share with friends, family, and colleagues, one they'll actually listen to, we hope that is us. The content of these conversations is meant to be provided for information purposes only. Nothing here is investment advice. Bitcoin is a big topic. Be sure to do your own research before making any personal financial decisions. Thanks for listening.